Hello and welcome to this episode of EMS Now and Informa on Tour 2022 in Europe. Reporting to you today, or this evening actually, from Oberstdorf in the southern part of Germany in the Alpine region. Dieter and I traveled here today and we'll be kind of doing some laundry, recovering, getting caught up on work before we head to Electronica on Monday. Wanted to report on two EMS, both German-based EMS companies, with some commonalities that we wanted to tell you about. Those are, we visited Koronex EMS in Ratingen, Germany, and then we also visited with Fritsch Electronic in Aachen, Germany. Let me get into this a little bit, explain a little bit about them, and then we can talk about some of the commonalities, and Dieter can share some insights and some data as well. So Koronex EMS, the first one we visited, by the way, where they are located in Ratingen, they also have a smaller prototype EMS by a different name, Hewa, H-E-W-A EMS, which is in the kind of the southeastern part of Germany, and that was acquired, and that is a specialty proto shop that they have there. But the overall company, Koronex, is a 40-year-old company. It's family-owned. They're doing around $20 million in revenues, have about 114 employees, 80 customers, definitely do low-volume, high-mix type work with three SMT lines and about 7,700 square meters of manufacturing facility that we visited and toured. Dieter, tell us a little bit about Koronex. You've known them longer than me. Tell me your thoughts and comments about our visit and what we saw and what stood out.
Okay. Well, number one, Koronex, medium-sized company, three SMT lines, family-owned business, and they were one of the companies which did see an effect of reshoring. And that was interesting, sure. Story. We're going to cover that separately as well. But just to explain it to you, even so, they were a little bit higher in price compared to Chinese competition, but they were able to supply their customer in lot sizes of 1,000, whereas a Chinese supplier said you need to order at least 10,000 and we're going to ship in 10,000. So there are certain advantages which not necessarily make it necessary to beat the price of China if you have other advantages which you can offer. And that was definitely the case at Koronex. Again, this prototype shop of Hewa in Bavaria is a very good example of being able as well, as we know, that it is more going local for local. They, being at the Austrian border, they have access there to Austrian customers as well, which from the Düsseldorf facilities you would not be able.
Right.
Yeah. But there's another thing which we're going to tackle shortly when we get to the second visit, which is the fact that they are in a group. If we look at the European structure of companies in regards to revenue size, I always mention it, there is 2,179 EMS legal entities in Europe. Now, of this 2,179 legal entities, only 305 do revenues of more than 15 million. And Koronex and the other company we visited today both go in that group. Now, and if you look at how this group develops, we are talking about market consolidation as well. You see that from 2013, this group of 305 EMS companies had a revenue share in Europe of 79%. And Today, in 2021, they have nearly 89%. So they are in this happy situation that they can see a future for their business.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And I think, let's talk about some of what they do, the type of work they do. I think they're primary, the two biggest sectors for Coronex are telecom and the industrial sector. And then they do medical, defense, auto, and mining. Talk about the mining, too, because they have a particular certification, the ATEX certification, that only one, they're one of 20 companies in Germany who have this certification. You tell us about that, Dieter.
Yes, well, ATEX is a very special certification which you need if your electronic devices you manufacture need to be safe not to develop any sparks. For example, if you are working in a area where there needs to be explosion-proof equipment, and that you can have in the mining area, but as well in the chemical industry, that is when ATEX becomes very important. In actual fact, you remember on Thursday we visited VDL-TBP Electronics in Netherlands, and they had this ATEX certification as well. Yeah. But if you look overall, Stefan Hauff, the managing director of Coronex, mentioned it. In Germany, it is just 20. And I would say in all of Europe, it is less than 40 companies who have this certification. And this certification allows them not only to supply customers in Europe, they supply customers worldwide, going even to the United States.
Exactly. No, and that's very good. Thank you for that explanation. The other piece I would say before we move on is that both companies, and we asked the question, how much of the revenues that you're doing is related to just PCBA work, and how much is actually kind of, you know, more box build for modules, modules or maybe even full systems. And in this case, it was just over 50-50 split. They're doing a significant amount of box build type work. I think it's 40-some percent in the case of Coronex. But that shows, again, that these companies, you get the toehold around PCBA and you grow the services. The closer you get with them, the stickier the relationships. You grow the customer relationship and get more business.
Exactly. And if we compare that to the big companies in Europe, for sure their share of full system build is higher, but it gives these medium-sized companies a clear signal where to go for. They need to go for full system builds, and they still have a lot of potential on there.
Yeah, and I should say in closing that I forgot to mention this at the beginning, who we met with. We actually had Coronex met with Stefan Hauff, who is the general manager. He's actually the general manager for both Coronex and for Hewa, the prototype shop down south. We didn't say much about the prototype. Dieter touched about it with the geographic where it was located into Austria and the benefits that they derive from that. But they definitely have that capability down there, and that allows them access to a lot of customers who are developing, you know, business. Let's move on to our second one, because I know in the interest of time, we don't want to give them short shrift here. Fritsch Electronic. Fritsch Electronic is, as Dieter or I mentioned, is in Aachen, Germany. We traveled there. We met with two gentlemen, Dr. Jost Baumgartner and Mr. Matthias Sester. As it turns out, both of these companies are... both of these gentlemen also happen to be the owners of the company, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. The history of the company for Fritsch Electronic is actually the company began in 1969. Again, a family-owned company. It was the Fritsch family who founded that. Then in 2019, you know, so what is that, 50 years later or whatever that is, it was acquired by two private owners, the gentlemen we met with. One of them, Mr. Sester, had already been working within Fritsch, and the other gentleman, Dr. Baumgartner, was from the outside. He was a consultant who had been working with the company. Again, size-wise, around 20 million euros, about 120 employees. It's interesting in this case is that the location is close to the French border, so they also are able to pull labor out of France. They run four SMT lines and around 50 customers. Dita, tell us a little bit about Fritsch and your kind of thoughts and comments and impressions of it.
Well, first of all, Fritsch Electronic has four SMT lines. They, similar to all medium-sized companies, do face this problem of shortage of semiconductors. They have a strong buildup of inventory, as we see it with all these medium-sized mm-hmm. companies. Even the big ones we have seen, we saw an overflow of their storage buildings. Yeah. And in my opinion, that is going to be the biggest headache going forward into 2023. Looking at Fritsch, I happen to know them very long, and their burden, to say so, is that they are prognosing a labor cost increase in 2023 of 7 to 8%, and on the energy side, we're going to tackle the issue separately, but they have a clear vision that they want to reduce that dependency by putting up solar panels on their roofs, mm-hmm. which, by the way, we heard at Coronex as well. And Stefan Hauff mentioned that the only limiting factor on that is that the availability of solar panels at the moment is zero. Yeah, so Fritsch is looking into that as well. They have a very interesting strategy, and they when they the two owners took over, they totally changed the strategy and made them more focused.
By the way, their timing, if you think 2019 when they acquired the company, was kind of unfortunate in that the COVID hit the very next year.
To say so, tough luck.
Yeah, it was very tough. So, yeah. And but that's what they had to manage through.
Oh yes, and I am closely following this company. I have been invited in the past to their customer days and giving presentations there. And they are very, very strongly focusing on their business to make changes in the strategy, mm-hmm. to reduce dependencies on certain customers. They got out of automotive in total. Yeah, which in their size of revenue, it makes no sense to have any dependency on the automotive industry. Yeah, the big ones, yes, they need it, but medium and small companies, they don't need it. And again, they belong to this group of 305 customers in Europe, which do have a potential of being among the winners in Europe.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point. Thank you for that. I should say, as far as the sectors that they cover, it is primarily industrial. Then they also do medical. They also do what they call measuring, control, and regulation. And also there's something housing and security. So, and we saw multiple examples of
yes,
that.
Yes, we saw some interesting examples. I noticed as well on the security and housing mm-hmm. Systems, which we're not going into details because that might expose customers. But it was very, very interesting. And for sure, they are putting their efforts into increasing vertical integration mm-hmm. Of the products they do.
Yeah.
They for sure have this problem as well in regards to inventory I mentioned before. And they have difficulties to handle it all.
Yeah, I will say Oh, sorry, go ahead. You're going
to
ask.
No,
add something.
You wanted to mention that thing about the ship.
It was very unique in that at one of the stations, I should say, one of the workbenches stations, they're actually, for a client, they're buying the available these available test. So that this particular OEM needs a particular chip.
Yes.
It's not, they're not getting it. But what they did is they found a product. I believe it was a test board of sorts.
Yeah.
That actually had
contains
it on it.
The
that
boards.
Contains that. So they're actually buying those boards, which are available with that chip on it. And they are at Fritsch then is removing that chip that's needed for their client so that they can build, right? I mean,
exactly.
It's a very unique approach.
Every customer we visited talked with us about their problems with getting the quantities of chips they need.
Yeah.
So no doubt about it. And you know that I'm having this issue, that I don't call this a crisis. But that's a different discussion we're going to tackle probably tomorrow.
After a few beers, maybe. We'll talk about that, Dieter.
Yes.
But go ahead.
Yeah. But the point is, there are various ways to tackle the problems. We have heard yesterday from one of the companies that they convince their customers to change to more available chips. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
To change from legacy and mature chip technologies into advanced chip technologies. And by doing so, they can still deliver product and increase their revenues. At Fritsch Electronics, that was very, very unique. We never heard that before. That was in actual fact, and I don't know who got to that that information. It was a brilliant idea to make sure that at the end of the day they were able to supply their customer with boards.
Yeah. So I'd like to move off of both companies and talk more about some commonalities, because as you're pointing out, that they are part of a group of EMS companies, 305 EMS companies who have revenue in excess of 15 million euros. Both companies clearly in that range. And so as such, I think it's fair to talk about some of the things that they have in common that we notice. And some of that, for example, I mean, obviously they're equal size, which is the point. They're both, because of that, especially, you know, on the size-wise, they're doing the lower volume but the high to medium mix type work. They see very focused on certain sectors at this point. As you indicated, like Fritsch had been doing some auto, now has kind of moved out of that. They're both privately held. That's, I don't know, obviously as you get to the larger companies, you lose that. But at the lower end of this group of 305 that you mentioned, there is certainly more of those private type companies. And they're in a position to also be considering expansion, which is definitely an issue that we talked about with both. But those are some general commonalities. What are your thoughts, Dieter?
Yes, the M&A subject is a subject which we have been discussing with them over the last 24 months. In addition to that, as we see more and more local for local business,
yes.
And you mentioned it before that, for example, Coronax sees a lot of their customers very close by.
Yeah, within 200 kilometers.
Yeah, and Fritsch is in a certain extent, not 100% the same, but to a certain extent the same. And nowadays, especially if you're going into NPI those things, the customers want their suppliers close by. They want to just jump in the car and drive maximum 2 hours to get to their, what I call, extended workbench.
Yeah.
Yeah? To get to their extended workbench and discuss issues with them to further improve the product. Okay.
Can I quote you on that? We'll coin a phrase here, extended workbench, Dita. Was that you, or did you read that somewhere? I'm just kidding. Listen, the other thing, though, that is of noteworthy, and you just stimulated that, is the service level. If we look at that, both of them have some partnerships for the upfront design type stuff.
Yes.
Where it's not necessarily in-house, but they certainly have it available. It is a service they can bring, but they don't bring it directly through their own employees. They bring it through partnerships that they have with some kind of vetted design companies.
And even so, and I would call that nearly a general trend. I get this information from several companies that they would love to have more experienced engineers in their engineering department rather than having to go to an external engineering office. But it's limited availability. There is, we still have a labor problem as well, which we need to talk about. And
I think we're going to cover some of that with the general trends.
Yes.
Because the rising energy costs, obviously we're in Germany, where unlike Sweden, right, most of this is more traditional sources down here, right?
Yes.
Oh. And so as a result, the costs are certainly having an impact on the business. The HR issues are certainly continuing and having an impact. I think there's only one EMS that we talked to who said that HR staffing wasn't a big challenge for him currently. But let's wrap this up because I don't want to go over and, you know, lose people's interest here. Let me say three things real quickly. We have now traveled more than 4,000 kilometers, Dita Weiss and I have, and we're still not done. We are now traveling to two. On Monday, we were going to visit two more EMS companies on our way up to Munich to visit. We're going to visit with Bavarian Digital Technique. Is that right?
Bavaria Digital Technik.
That's exactly what I said, meant to say. And we're also going to be visiting with a Katec facility. Then we will be at Electronica for Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday, I pack up and I head home for Thanksgiving. Dita continues his work and actually will remain in Europe. So that's what's happening there. Before I go, I do want to acknowledge and thank our sponsors for the EMS Now tour this year. That is CalcuQuote, a software solutions partner for the electronics industry. Cogiscan, the factory digitalization partners for electronics manufacturers globally. And Micronic, a global supplier of high flexibility production equipment. We thank them for their support and allowing us to go around, tour these 15 EMS and report them out to you. Keep following us. We have several more podcasts still to go. We will do a summary report about our tour and various trends. Dita, as I've mentioned on a previous podcast, has committed to providing me his most current market data on each of the countries we visited and also for the overall EMS industry here in Europe. So as you all know, I'm a big fan of Dita's work. I think it's the best in the industry. And so I'll look forward to sharing that with you all within the next month. I do need to get home and kind of recharge and get caught up, and then we'll put that together. So, Dita, it's been fun. We have a few more days to go. Thank you very much. For those of you out there, keep listening and reach out to us if you have any questions or want to say hello. Thank you very much.